was a young maid from New York who had a visit from the stork men, put the baby in the trash. Some
has a zine called Junk Drawer. And he's very, very cool. So cool, in fact, that a very attractive young woman told me earlier today, and this is true, that his zine, which he had seen for the first time and bought every available issue, is cooler than anything they have in Brooklyn. So, that's saying something, guys. This is Eric, cooler than anything they have in Brooklyn, Bartholomew.
Let me know if that girl shows up tonight.
Well, I told you she was extremely attractive or possibly underage.
Okay. I do the zine called Junk Drawer. I have three issues out. Just came out with issue number three. But first I'm going to read from issue number two, which is called Junk Days. And this is about a particular days in a certain suburb that where they have these spring cleaning days where people can throw out whatever they want under their parkways, under the curb, and people like me come up and look for all the stuff that they throw out. and the type of stuff they throw away. They throw away things believing that somebody will pick them up. They sincerely hope that their old stuff won't all go to waste. They want someone to find their stuff. Things are displayed in the open. They might not express this desire, but I've seen a man give a knowing smile as I picked up his old metal toolbox. I've seen a lady watching children sort through some old toys and return to the house telling them she was going to get some more. There can be really a pretty giving and sharing spirit among some people. It is not directly recycling, but in a way it is even more direct. Unlike arranging for their stuff to be picked up by a charity or dropping it off at the Goodwill, they get to actually see the people who take their things. Their items are often going directly from their hands to their own curb and into the hands of someone who will be able to use it. They can watch from their windows, and I've seen some doing this. A person peering out their curtains to watch make you a little nervous, but I must assume that they must be nervous too. This is as close as many people come to inviting strangers onto their property. Many people, I think, are curious about who would want their old junk. I'm curious about this, too, and about the people who are throwing the stuff away. I grab most items I think have value. This is not about greed. It's about the junk itself. There is something wrong about good and useful things being tossed away. There must be someone out there who could use a perfectly good working black and white TV set or a kitchen wall cabinet. And if those few people aren't around to find this cabinet before it gets thrown into the back of a garbage truck, then I can be the one to save it. It's like I'm catching this stuff at this one point just before it's about to fall into a vast landfill, forever filling up our planet. And somewhere there's this old guy who can't afford new things, and this cabinet I found will end up at a thrift store or a junk shop where it will be at a great price, and the man will buy it. If I could find this man, I would bring it right to him. And this scene has a lot of tips on junking and finding junk, and here's a couple of them. One is etiquette. Respect your fellow junkers. Diggers and pickers come from far and wide. If someone is at a pile, that territory is momentarily theirs. Don't encroach. Check another pile and wait your turn. Junk karma. Wanting something badly enough doesn't always bring it to you. But if you want something sincerely, and you have been a good person, you are bound to find something you need or want. There is karma involved here somehow, and probably some reincarnation, with objects being reborn into a new life. Sometimes you'll just find just what you needed that you didn't even think about. So you don't need any grocery store type list. You don't need any real objectives or junk or goals. You just need to get out there and dive into the random piles and see what you find. You'll be sure to find something. And here's some things I found. I must admit, I knew whose house it was. It had been the home of one of the nation's greatest newspaper columnists, where he had resided until he passed away a few years before. This was the house and some of the junk that belonged to Mike Royko. His widow was moving, and the move coincided with this town's junk days. There was a lot of stuff and a lot of people milling around. There were obviously neighbors or loyal Royco readers, but a few people seemed to know what to make of the pile of junk next to the driveway. A few people walked up to the pile and selected a single item, a tie, a coffee mug, a can of shaving cream, personal items that Mr. Royco might have used. But I knew that tie might have been a gift, never worn. The coffee mug may have been his wife's, and the shaving cream his kid's. I dug deeper and searched for folders and papers. That's when I found some personal files. There were notes and Xerox copies relating to Mayor Daley the Elder. Royco had apparently been using this research material for his only book-length work, Boss, Richard J. Daley of Chicago. There were also letters from readers, still in envelopes, all addressed to the Chicago Tribune. The letters were mostly submissions to a regular column called Gripes, which invited people to write in and complain about things. Some were quite funny. Most of what I found, I don't think I can reprint here because of copyrights, but this one letter was never published, and it was, after all, being thrown away. It was just a short note, but something that only Royco's friends or relatives might have seen, if anyone had saved it. I don't think anyone outside of those few people ever would have seen it, and it was basically an invitation for some get-together at his home. And at the end he says, P.S. Anybody with kids who can't get a babysitter, bring the little scamps. We got lots of toys, Nintendo, and other junk. P.P.S. For non-smokers, I have a big back porch where you can go stand while the rest of us light up. So that's junk days. And the latest zine I just finished is called Odds and Ends. It's basically about various items that I've found in this drawer that I have in my desk called the junk drawer, and I'm sure everybody has a certain drawer or basket or something where you keep all your random stuff that doesn't really have a place, doesn't really belong any place, but it's too good to throw away. So that's what the junk drawer is about. And this first thing is an N, like a little end cap thing. There's pictures, by the way, in all these. This is an end cap thingy, but only it's more of a knob. The edges readed like a coin, and the flat top is a little less than an inch in diameter. The post is threaded, so it's meant to screw into something. But what? I saved another knob thingy that I found somewhere, and I thought it might be useful. It was more the end cap design. Later, I found a standing floor lamp in the trash. It worked fine and just needed a lampshade. I bought a shade at a dollar store type place, and it kind of wobbled on top. Then I remembered the end cap. It fit perfectly. This was quite a satisfying moment, a fine lesson in the importance of saving things. It was also probably encouragement for me to save more junk. But oh well, I also saved money. They don't sell lampshade toppers usually with lampshades, unless you go to some fancy lamp shop. And then how would I know if I would fit the base unless I dragged the whole floor lamp into the store? Well, this knob thingy might have a similarly significant use, and it awaits that moment where it may one day find its purpose in life. This is a mouth. At least that's what I called it when I first saw it when I was about 7 years old. It is actually a rubber coin purse that opens when you squeeze the sides like that. These were popular back in the 1970s, I think, with both women and men. I don't know where this one came from. When I first saw it, it looked like it had a mouth to me. So I took a Sharpie and drew some eyes. I never used it for coins. It seemed much more fond of other things, like eating small Legos and biting people's noses. It was pretty good at hanging on to whatever it bit. I mean, the thing was clearly hungry. It could also talk. It is kind of a translucent faded yellow in color. It is one of those objects from my past that I'm sure disappeared for years. It resurfaced in a box of odds and ends pretty recently, and soon ended up in the drawer. It never really did have a particular place to be, so the junk drawer is where it resides for now. I don't see these around anymore, and I don't know if people carry coin purses much in general, but if only I had patented the Hungry Mouth coin purse back then, it might have been a hit. That was the decade when someone painted eyes on a rock and the pet rock was born, going on to sell millions. It was a time when anything was possible. This is the one item I still have from my first car, and the car was a Sterling. It was an English oddity by the Rover Company. It had high expectations in 1989, but by the time I bought it a decade later, it primarily had a high repair rate. The engine stalled sometimes in hot weather, Various knobs got falling off, and the sunroof always leaked, even when it wasn't raining. Rust spots were everywhere, even inexplicably on the plastic. Despite these woes, it was cheap and unique. This model was a four-door hatchback, so it was quite practical for stowing junk. I collected some good thrown-away stuff with that car, including all the furniture in my apartment at the time. Perhaps that made up for its troubles, and for being a polluting automobile and everything. The roadside assistance plan card was kind of a joke, because the Sterling automakers were no longer in existence by the time I was driving them. I got AAA instead. Eventually, the car got too quirky even for me, so I sold it somehow. The last I remember, its electrical system was freaking out, and no one could figure out how to fix it. The interior lights would flash on and off while driving like a mobile discotheque. Well, rest in peace, Sterling. I hope you've been recycled into something better. This next thing is a subtle word. It was clearly visible to me when I spotted it on the sidewalk down in Chicago's South Loop. "Sing," I said aloud when I picked it up. This is a rough piece of black plastic, apparently cracked. It is likely just a part of another word, broken off in just the right spot to spell something totally different. It is a mystery whether somebody intentionally snapped it off like this, or if it broke by chance, smashed by traffic or a construction site. If I were very superstitious, I'd believe this to be a sign, a talisman, giving me a clue to take a new direction in my life. I've never been a singer, not even in chorus in school, but I do think I can carry a tune, especially if the shower tile acoustics are good. I don't really like to karaoke because I'm shy about getting up in front of a bunch of people like that. However, I could maybe write some music on a keyboard and record some voice on my computer. Then I could create a pretend band, set up a MySpace page, and even Photoshop pictures of concerts with imaginary fans. But playing shows in real life would probably be best. And if I wasn't a good performer, I could hire a stand-in like Milli Vanilli. Although then I'd be subject to having my Grammy Awards revoked. My music career has gone nowhere so far, until I discover the meaning behind this found word, or make up some meaning, as I'm inclined to do. Sing will be resting silently in the junk drawer. I drew a picture of a cassette tape there. This was once a sheet of labels from an audio cassette tape. The labels were marked side A and B. I still listen to my old tapes sometimes, but I don't record anymore, ever since disc burning became a new mixtape making. I'll still be using that term, mixtape, 20 years from now, kind of like my grandfather calling the refrigerator the icebox. Most of my tape labels have been used up or lost. This empty sheet I saved partly because it is a BBC brand. I bought this tape on a trip to England, and I thought it was cool since I'd never seen BBC tapes in the U.S. I was kind of into all things British at the time, even ordinary things like this. It seemed more special due to its unavailability here. The other reason I saved it is because I bought another BBC cassette and made a mixtape for a girl I liked. I guess I thought it would impress her, having a British tape. I filled it with Brit pop and British new wave. My own BBC tape broke when I dropped it on the sidewalk. I saved the label sheet. It's kind of a souvenir from afar, and perhaps a remembrance of a girl who is now likely far away. People come and go, and so does junk, especially in a junk drawer, where junk can stay. I wonder if she ever went to England, like she'd always dreamed of. I wonder if she still has the tape. This next item, somebody here will recognize the. This is the cardboard top part of a package to an unusual toy called the Hopping Octopus. I bought it at a fun local toy store, thinking it might make a good cat toy. The cat I gave it to eventually got bored with it, perhaps because it always required someone else to work it to make it hop. But I remember it being rather unexpected gift, since hopping octopi are virtually unheard of. In fact, I don't think they even hop in real life, since they are mostly swimming. Even so, I like the concept, and the name, and the package. I especially like that the opposite side has the name in French, which I can't pronounce very well. Prouve Santon. Perhaps it is from Canada. Une Prouve Santon Canadienne. A Canadian hopping octopus. A rare species indeed. This is a little plastic platypus. I have to wonder why I would buy a little plastic platypus. I guess it was just so odd to see it where it was being sold. It was in the gift shop at some little historic house out east where they gave tours. The place had nothing whatsoever to do with water-dwelling mammals. Evidently, the historic house organization thought that after a tour, visiting guests might enjoy a souvenir platypus. I've seen several gift shops like this, offering trinkets completely irrelevant to the museum's collection. The Supreme Court Historical Society has a gift shop with plenty of Scales of Justice cufflinks and things like that you might expect from our nation's highest court. But then they also have something called a Keykeeper Turtle. It looks like a turtle you could trust with your keys, but how it works is not even explained. You can see this turtle on their website in the miscellaneous section. I suppose items like these are really there to help fund the museum. With that in mind, I sometimes try to make a small purchase. I usually go for something useful that I would use anyway, such as a pen or notebook. Anything else is bound to end up in the junk drawer. If only there was a junk drawer museum, I would definitely visit there and buy something from the junk drawer gift shop. Museum gift shops are like little museums unto themselves. Museums of junk, as most people might think. But when you come home, your suitcase is a kind of traveling junk drawer full of gift shop trinkets, and it's fun to sort them out upon returning as you recall your travels. These items often travel on into the junk drawer. There they remain because they represent something you acquired someplace else, away from the workaday world. Even though that souvenir might not be related to the location you visited, the fact you bought it from afar makes it something special. Early travelers were really explorers, and they would set out to acquire treasures from local marketplaces. Back then, objects that looked foreign really weren't available in local shops. I remember my first exotic find was a plastic toucan all the way from the Milwaukee Zoo. I knew this was something special because it wasn't purchased at a local toy shop. It came from the place where toucans lived, which I believe must be the land of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I don't know whatever happened to that toucan, but I suppose for a while it was in some junk drawer, in some collection that became a little temporary exhibit of lost toys. If only there had been such an exhibit. I would have liked to have been there to see the old toucan. If only just to say goodbye. Thank you.